How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Double team finds Ingles. He breaks the paint, flips it back out to Hayward. His sweet spot's angle right. He fires the three angle right, and he fist pumps as it goes down the hole.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, the 17th of March. Jazz running to LeBron in Cleveland, but may have discovered something very, very important. Plus, rather than a pack Friday, we'll look at the standings and where things trend and how much progress the Jazz made this week. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Glad to be with you. Coming to you live from Chicago. I got to tell you what, we stay, obviously, in fabulous hotels. The hotel in Chicago is so nice. I'm so out of place. I so don't belong in a place of this caliber. It's just incredible. It's Chicago's the best city, maybe the best city in America, this side of San Francisco or Seattle. But it's just incredible. I might still have to stay in here today. Like, it's so gorgeous. I have my it's just beautiful. It's technologically advanced. The NCAA tournament's on. I got a couch. It's huge. Like, I do at the summer. I go back to the Hampton Inn, and I stay at my Hampton Inns in the summer, which is perfectly fine, but I can cook breakfast usually in my Hampton Inn for the family, save a little money. This is just the absolute element of decadence. When we used to do video, I used to, like, show you guys there was beautiful art. It's, like, it's just incredible. But anyway, well, today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, good people over there. We're going to talk about last night's game, but then we're also going to look at where things are. I will admit I could be slightly distracted. My son is racing in the Western Regionals right now, and my daughter is ski racing in the U12 Intermountain Division Championships, and they're going on as I record this. I did that a little on purpose because I just hate being the dad who's sitting there glued to live timing the whole time, but there's also a chance that if it gets too close, I'll start searching around to see what they are doing. All right, let's go to our pins across the world and open up the show there. I always enjoy this segment. This is where we find out where you and how you listen to the program, where you listen to the program, and how you became a Jazz fan. Now, this, if true, and there doesn't seem to be anything that's fake about this, I am working temporarily in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Thank goodness for technology. Thanks for the tremendous work you put in providing great information to the Jazz fan. I've been a fan of yours since your early days, and so I'll keep up the great work. Mark Slight is in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. That's a first pin we've ever had in Ethiopia. Mark, thank you very much. If you get a chance and you hear this, will you let us know what work you're doing in Ethiopia? And can you share with us a little bit of what it's like? I think there would be great curiosity. We can turn it into an educational program as well. All right. Last night, that is Pins Across the World. Please send me yours, dlock09@gmail.com. Last night, the Jazz ran into the Cavaliers, and then we're going to update you on how the Jazz playoff hopes look. Good week for the Jazz. Really, really good week for the Jazz. I'll explain to you. 538's a little optimistic, I think, on the Jazz right now, but that's the system we use, and it's not fair to – and maybe they're too optimistic on other places, as you know, other teams as well, and I don't know it, or too – you know, it just feels that way. So, but we'll get into that in a minute. I thought the interesting aspect to last night's game were two things that I think are really, really good signs for the Jazz. One is I never thought that they had a rhythm or seemed to be feeling particularly good in the game. I thought early on it seemed like everything was easy for the Cavaliers and hard for the Jazz. I knew the Jazz defensive game plan and Cleveland was frankly too good. The Jazz weren't able to get kind of what they wanted. They weren't able to deny the three and get them off the three-point line and into the mid-range like they wanted to. And with all of that, and without Rodney and without Derek and on the road on a back-to-back and playing small with Joe Johnson at the four for much of the night, the Jazz defensive rating at the end of the night was a 97.3. Cleveland is the number one defensive team or offensive team in the NBA the last 20 games. So to have a defensive rating of 97.3 is really means that they had a very, very good game. Now, the offense was bad. The offense just never got going. Gordon couldn't hit. George couldn't hit. You know, that might be back-to-back. That might be it. Or that might be their defense. Or, you know, that's no Rodney Hood as the third piece to help you out with that. I think that's worth you know, you just maybe tip your hat or just kind of that is what it is. But I thought to me, what was revealing here was the fact that the Jazz, while playing small, were able to still have defensive success. The other one was that because of the way Cleveland played and the injury to Derek, there's certain lineups that the Jazz went and put on the floor last night that they don't usually play or frankly like to play. Predominantly Trey Lyles and Boris Diaw on the floor together. The first time that was on the floor, that was -5 for, you know, and really with very little choice of to do anything else. The second stint Trey Lyles came out, he was on with Boris Diaw. This time they were +4 to their credit, so Boris and Trey Lyles, and then that group stayed out there and actually had a pretty good sequence the second time around, and I think for the collection of time they were on the floor together, they were actually +5. So they came out, it didn't cost them the game at all, but they came out even in that stretch, which is another good sign. Because that's not a sequence that has been particularly successful for the Jazz. When Lyles got back on the floor with Rudy, then the Jazz started to have some success because Rudy's just that good. I mean, Rudy's just remarkable right now. He's just simply great. He's really – so I thought while playing lineups you weren't used to, while having some of those things – hey, look, this is my ringtone. Oh, it just went away. I tried to turn up the volume. It's Hot Rod calling Stockton shot, which reminds me, reunited on the 22nd. Brought to you by Zions Bank. Should be a great deal of fun. Make sure you get out for that. Anyway, so I thought that was really the positive, is that here you are back-to-back. Here you are playing small. Here you are doing, you know, all of those you know, tough circumstances, and you played defensively great. I thought that was really interesting. One thing that I'm keeping an eye on here is back-to-back games since the toe injury for George Hill. If you kind of go, he comes back. He misses a bunch of time, and then he comes back and he plays a back-to-back on January 8th, and he goes 6 of 15. He then plays a back-to-back on January 14th, and he goes 4 of 13. He then plays a back-to-back at home against Indiana. He's great. He had 30 points against his former team. He was just unbelievable. He then had to play a back-to-back against Denver, and he went 6 of 18 shooting. He then does not play the next back-to-back in Dallas. We lose by 7, and then we go to All-Star break. He plays a back-to-back for 20 minutes against Minnesota, goes 1 for 3, looks awful, right? The whole team looks awful. He then does not play the next back-to-back against New Orleans and sits out the Houston game and plays a back-to-back and goes 3 of 10 against Cleveland. That trend is fine for the playoffs, but worth keeping an eye on for the rest of the year. That in since the toe injury, since he came, you know, it's hard to say when he which time he came back, but since then he has really struggled on back-to-backs and did last night as well. And then specifically to last night, he's not helped by the fact that Gordon's not very good either last night. Gordon just didn't have it last night. And, you know, for the amount of nights Gordon's been great this year, we probably can give him the benefit of the doubt and have a night where he didn't have it. But he did not have it. But when you start to kind of keep an eye on this, and the nice thing is we hit the playoffs and he'll always have time, which makes us even better in the playoffs. But it is a little disconcerting in regards to kind of where his health is right now and what he's capable of doing. So since this is since he came back from the toe injury in the December 27th, he's played in six back-to-back games. In those six back-to-back games, he's only shot, I believe, 29 of 75 from the field. I mean, the guy's gaming it. But that's something that we probably need to keep an eye on. If my math is right on that, earlier today, hopefully it was. I try to believe myself. Yeah, 29 of 75 for 39% on back end of the back-to-backs. Since he came back, you know, since basically December 1st when he went out, he played, you know, you can include the back-to-back he played on the 29th in Houston, and that makes it even worse. That's 2 for 6. So then he's 31 of 81. And, you know, you can decide where you want to draw the line, but the point is still the same. And that's relevant for us the rest of the way, that I think it's going to be hard for us to assume that on nights in which if we play a back-to-back, that George Hill is going to be strong. Now, the nice thing, right, is we don't, and I'm sure it's not just back-to-backs, but there does seem to be something to it. The nice thing is the next time we play a back-to-back is home against the that's not a back-to-back. Next back-to-back is home against Portland Minnesota at Portland on April 8th, and we'll go through the standings. I actually think that's like the biggest game. The three games, as I'll show you here in a second, I think will determine the Jazz are the next two and April 8th at Portland. They're road games where we're not necessarily if we can go get two of the three of those, I think we end up with a four seed. We'll talk about that. But anyway, you know, really, I thought last night was positive. The offense, you know, we go as George goes a little bit, and he's not going he didn't go very well last night, and then Gordon didn't go very well last night. Gordon just body didn't look right. But I thought that was a positive last night. You're playing off. Your guys aren't right. You're playing with Cleveland. LeBron was very complimentary of the Jazz after the game. I'm not always big into, like, what people say after games about I'm not the biggest, you know, I love that kind of stuff. But I thought it was interesting, at least. I think LeBron, I thought his point was people don't know about them. They're not on national TV a lot, but that's a great team. I think his point was that was a good win by us. You know, they're trying to find their groove. They lost 4 of 6 and aren't particularly playing well. And and I think that they've really figured out a way they're trying to find their way, and I think that's what they feel like they did last night. Next, I'm going to update you on the playoff picture and where things look for the Jazz. But I want to make sure that you know about Murdoch Hyundai. I have been introduced to the Murdoch family, the Chase Group. Got me to know them. We all sat around, got to know each other. Really impressive group, multiple generations running this, their car industry, with the feel of a family trying to make sure that they interact with their fellow Utahns and have a great experience. That's what jumped out to me about who Murdoch was. They really, when you go buy a car at Murdoch, they wanted to make sure that you left feeling good about the Murdoch name. Now, I am driving a Hyundai right now, and I'll be honest, when they first called me and said, hey, we're interested in talking to you and letting you get to know us, and then we'd like you to drive a Hyundai, I was like, yeah, okay. But The exact opposite has happened now that I drive the Hyundai. I adore it. It's got every bell, every whistle, drives beautifully. And the real story is if you can kind of open your mind to a brand that you probably don't know that well, you're going to find out that what you get for your dollar and your experience is a bigger warranty, more features, a just as sweet ride, more interior space, and probably more safety elements to it, depending on what you add on to your car. I'm driving the Santa Fe Sport right now. I couldn't be more pleased with it. Couldn't be more impressed by it. So when you're shopping for a car, first, know that the Murdoch family is one that will have you have no regrets when you're done with the buying purchase. And second, take a look at Hyundai. Feel free to add that to your list of cars when you do your comparison shopping on what it costs, what the prices are, what your guarantees are, what your warranties are, and I'm sure you'll be impressed. All right, let's break down the playoffs. All right, here's my take on the standings. So I've done this before with 538, and I break it up into certain wins when 538 has you at 80% or more. Likely win 65 to 30%, should win 65 to 50, pick'ems, and then could win 45, 35%, doubt it, 35 to 20, and nope. And so we sit right now with the after last night, great wins by Oklahoma City and Memphis last night. They are both, the Thunder at 39 and 29. Memphis is at 39 and 30. The Clippers lost again last night. They're at 40 and 29, and the Jazz are at 43 and 26. So at, looking at this schedule, the way I have it projected out, the Jazz actually, and 538 really likes the way the Jazz are playing, and it, they adjust based on how you're playing recently. I think Memphis, by the way, is going to play really, really well. I only think Memphis loses three, four games the rest of the way. Without Chandler Parsons, they are a much, much better team than they have been before. And I really do believe that Memphis will I think Memphis closes this year on quite a run. I think Memphis closes the year only losing three games the rest of the way would be my guess. And if they do that, then they finish with 33 losses along the way. So I have, as of April 1st, I have the Jazz at 48 wins, the Clippers at 46 wins, and the Thunder and Memphis at 43 wins. So it feels like you'd be in great shape and rolling. Then by the morning of April 10th, I have the Jazz with 50 wins, the Clippers with 48, Oklahoma City with 47, Memphis with 46. But the end of the season for the Jazz is so brutal. And unless someone's resting or something happens of that sort, I actually still have, unless the Jazz beat the Clippers or win in Portland, that the Jazz end up tied with the Clippers. So for all the progress that the Jazz have made, it's still going to be tough. Final night of the year, the Clippers, if you take it the last few nights of the year, the Clippers close, the Clippers and Jazz close, the Clippers go to San Antonio, we go to Portland. That night's big. If we can steal that win in Portland, we're probably fine. Both teams play again on the 10th. The Jazz play at Golden State with no chance to win. The Clippers play at home against Houston favored, and Houston will have nothing to play for. Absolutely nothing. Then, the final night of the year, the Clippers are home against Sacramento, and we're home against the Spurs. Who knows what the Spurs have to play for? But the final, even just kind of take it even back to April 5th, or if you kind of go back to when we play them, I believe... The Jazz play, what's our game against the Clippers? It's coming up here actually pretty soon. But if you go from then, it gets, if you just kind of look at April, here's my point. We're going to feel like we're in control. And then here's the march against the Clippers and even Memphis. We go to San Antonio with a 23% chance to win. Memphis and Oklahoma City could come. Memphis has got an easy game in there. OKC does too. Then the Clippers get a bunch of days off in this process. We then play our next game at home against Portland, which we are set to win. They then play Dallas, which is just an easy one for them. Our next ball game, we both get a bunch of days off. Our next game is home against Minnesota, which we have to win, where they get, I think, 4 days off before they then head to San Antonio, and we head to Portland on that same night, and then we walk down the final stretch. So it's not going to be easy for us in any way at all. And as though things have kind of gone our way so far for the Jazz, as they and you have to be pretty excited about the way it's playing out for them and the kind of breaks they're getting in the process. Today's show was brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. Really appreciate everything that Blake and the guys there have done. As I've told you numerous times, at least take a second and look at what Hyundai might be able to do for you. Check and see, you know, what they are, whether it's the Elantra and the incredible package they have right now at $13,999. As I said, I'm driving the Santa Fe and loving it. If you'd like to advertise on Locked On Jazz, it's dlock09@gmail.com. Send me an email. We'd love to have you aboard for the playoff push. Reach male audiences that are loyal to sponsors. And thank you all for being loyal to the sponsors. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.